Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today our topic will be, Am I Good Enough? I have three special guests joining me today, and actually, I am so thrilled that they are here today because they are going to make this program worth its weight in gold. And I don't even know how much it weighs, but it's going to be gold. It's going to be gold. I know these three women very well, and I admire them greatly, and so I am excited to learn from them and catch their insights on this very important topic. I have joining me today, I have Jean A. Stevens, who is the first counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you. You're a light. That's one of my sad parts about doing radio is people can't see the exchange between us when we're in here. And sometimes it's just so fun. And you just always are filled with light and joy.
Well, you make it a happy place to be here. That's great. Thanks.
We're lucky to be amongst happy people.
Yeah.
Jean, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I'm married to my wonderful husband, whom I love with all my heart.
And I know Mark, and he is wonderful.
He is a great guy. And we've been married 40 years, and we have 5 children and 10, almost 11 grandchildren in 2 more weeks.
How exciting. That's so great. And so you have a wealth of experience working with primary age children, leaders in the church, members across the globe, and you're in the trenches of family living yourself.
Well, it's a wonderful place to be, a great blessing.
That's so good. And this is the nice thing is I can say that about the rest of our guests as well, as in the thick of thick things. And that's the important part. We also have Linda S. Reeves joining us, second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Matt. And we do. We love each other. We know each other well, these two other women, and we know you, and I love you all.
The feelings are so mutual, and isn't it nice to be around good people? It's so nice, actually.
Yes.
Linda, tell us a little bit about yourself and family.
Well, my husband and I are blessed with, we've got 13 children, and we now have 30 grandchildren.
Wow.
But, I say we've got 10 married children, so they're really not doing that well, just three on average. Actually, they're doing great.
That is awesome, though. That is so great. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that is. We also have joining us today is Neil F. Marriott, who is the second counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you, Matt. I'm trying to average out my grandchildren now. We too have 30 grandchildren.
Oh my goodness.
We only have 6 married. So, we have another grandson coming in a couple of months, and so we're getting lots of numbers coming in.
I always marvel at family experiences, and I look at individuals who have maybe one child, and they're pulling their hair out and saying, how can I make this work? And rightfully so. And then when I hear numbers like 30 grandchildren, I have 3 grandchildren with 1 more on the way, and I'm thinking, I hope I could be the great grandfather that I should with the numbers. But I think God blesses us. He gives us more strength and help as our responsibilities and opportunities increase. Is that fair to say? Do you think that happens? Is those that are saying, I don't know if I could do 3 children or 4 children. I think that he actually blesses us if you have 5 or 6. Whatever our circumstances are, he helps us to be whole.
Very true. Absolutely. No matter what you have, you think you feel you're overwhelmed. But he really enlarges our abilities to do. The more we have, I think. Boy, these two are the experts, though. 13 and 11 children. So they're experts at it.
Linda?
Well, I always say to parents that have 1 or 2 children, honestly, you're doing all the same things that we're doing. And as your children get older, they hopefully are actually a lot of help to you. And there's an old saying, nobody is busier than a parent with 1 child, so because you're the sole entertainer.
I agree. In fact, if you say 13 children or 11 children or 5 children, people think they're all taking. They're taking. All 11 children are taking something from you, but that's not completely true. In fact, it's not true at all. The 11 children are adding. You know, they add to one another, And we can watch that addition happen. There's a greater sense of whole. So it's not just the mother handing out things to the 11. It's the 11 giving to each other.
Yeah, these are such good points.
That is so true. As I think about what our children's relationships are with each other, it's just magnificent to watch them as adults now, just how much they love and care about each other. And they are just, they're their dearest friends, even though they don't live in the same cities. It's heaven when we get together and they just are together. I love that. And that is such a good point. It's not just your relationship with them and you giving to them. It's what they give. And
it's also what those grandchildren.
Oh, huge.
Give to each other. They just, you know, the children, our children come together and they are loving the associations. The grandchildren have a ball. I'm the one chasing the grandchildren around playing with them because my children are busy with each other. So it's me and the grandchildren who are involved. But the grandchildren love to be together.
I think this is great, and I love words that you're using, things like a wholeness, the concept of being together, of bringing things together, or all individuals contributing. And there's something about this is really wonderful, and it's very essential, is to be able to think beyond the immediate self and be able to see, well, to use the phrase, the bigger picture in a way. Now, I think this is a wonderful lead-in to what we're talking about today, is a question that I hear quite a bit. And I'll be frank and honest, it's a question that I ask myself quite often, actually, is that centerpiece of, am I good enough? Am I measuring up? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I a good husband? Am I a good father? Am I a good man? And I think that we ask this question of ourselves a lot. Well, maybe I'm imposing this upon. Do you ever ask yourself that question? Because you're also accomplished. I'm looking at, we have college degrees here. You're doing so many amazing things. Maybe you've never asked yourself that question or felt that at all?
like daily?
Yes, daily you ask yourself?
Really, what we're called to do now, you feel so inadequate to be doing it. And yet you try to give it your best, but I often feel like, oh, I'm just not enough. I'm not good enough. But we have to rely that with the Lord's help, we can be what he wants us to be, because all of the work is over us. It's way bigger than any of us can do. But when we know it's the Lord's work and we ask for his help, then we're not doing it alone. And
well,
that
good.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Very important.
Same in families.
Very important. Linda?
We find that women in general are very hard on themselves. We, as you say, daily, Jean, pull out the hammer and apply it to ourselves. And I think it is especially hard in today's world where we have so much social media and we're seeing what everybody else is doing. It's not, I don't know if viewers remember Little House on the Prairie, but, you know, where you're very isolated and you're not comparing yourself as much. And we as women compare ourselves to each other at their others' best and our worst. And that can be really hard. So I love what Jean's saying, that especially, you know, who do we want to value us the most? Our Father in heaven. And if we can feel confident in his sight, then our self-esteem can be intact.
I was reading through some things and I came across a blog, and I'm not really a big reader of blogs, but this one, it was actually my secretary pointed it out to me, and I was reading a little phrase here, and this is what it says. It says, quote, "I think it's only natural, perhaps especially for women, to have moments when you feel like nothing you do is ever quite good enough. Moments when you feel like you can't handle what's on your plate as it is, and then you find someone with platters full of food piled all on top of each other, and somehow they seem to be able to eat it all and still have room for dessert." And then this blog ends with, "How do they do it?" End of quote. Isn't that interesting? And I thought kind of what you're saying is we're living in a complicated world where it seems like now we see everything, and it's easy to do this comparing. It's easy to be able to compare maybe what it is, what we think is apples to apples, when really it's not necessarily true. And as a result, we get a distorted sense of image, of worth, and of value.
Two things. That platter of food, it's just one bite at a time.
For every human, right?
Yes. That's the healthy way to do it. One bite at a time. And Jean, you started off this discussion with the word daily. and Linda picked it up. I think daily is, it may be daily that we sense this pressure on us with lots of children or big families or troubles, but it's also daily that we can find solutions. Just a simple solution that's sitting in front of us. If we try to do it all and have the whole platter of food, it's overwhelming and sickening and unhealthy. But I remember loving Monday mornings. Just loving Monday mornings when everyone else saying, "Oh, Monday."
Because you might be the only one that would say that.
I loved it. In fact, one time, David, my husband said, as he was going, "Oh, here we go again with another week of work." And I said, "I love Monday." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I can start over." and I can do one load of laundry and think, "I'm on my way. I'm getting started." Instead of the end of the week when I can look back and think, "Oh, all those loads of laundry I didn't get done. I've got a new week. It's fresh. I can start off with just one load." So I just think one bite at a time, one child at a time, it's more doable. And that's when I sense I'm still inadequate, but I sense that the Lord is adequate. And together we can do this one thing, and then it's done. Then you can look back just a little and say, "I did that, so I can do the next."
This is really important. As a matter of fact, I think of when you're talking about this is when we combine the Lord or our Father in heaven within this process, is He has such a grand view that expands beyond the moment, the initial moment, when we're feeling overwhelmed or like we're not quite measuring up, etc. And He has this way to ennoble our vision as far as that goes, is actually there's a lot more going on here. And there's something about us with progression. I think sometimes we don't think about this very often because in the world's view, it's, are you there? Yet? Have you done all of this yet? You know, kind of a thing. And the Lord's view is saying, "I need you to progress." It seems that that's the key. So sometimes when you're speaking, I'm thinking, "Oh man, I felt that as well." And I think sometimes when I go into my office and I have a pile of things that need to be done, I think we've all felt this, whether it's in an office, in a home, in our personal affairs. And my tendency is when I look at all that needs to be done is to shut down a little bit and say, "I'm going to avoid that right now and close the door on this right here and not face that." But I found that even if I only take one page off of that pile of things to be done, and I only get one thing done, and there's still 1,000 more to do, that I feel a sense of great relief and accomplishment. I thought, why is that? And I think it's because I'm progressing. I'm progressing towards being better. One load, life better, one load of laundry at a time.
Or one conversation.
Oh, nice.
One conversation with one child who may have many challenges, but one good, solid, loving conversation just kind of puts the stick in the sand and says, "Okay, we've got something to hold on here now. We've talked, we've shared, we haven't solved maybe not anything, but we've connected, and one good thing has happened there."
When you connect, it totally makes your day. It really does. Mm-hmm. You just feel like, "Oh, that is a moment I'm going to remember." And so those kinds of things really can give you hope for the future. Of course, it's Satan who wants us to feel discouraged,
right,
and feel like, yeah, you're never going to be good enough. You can't do enough. And then we don't make progress. But it's the Lord who makes us feel those feelings of the Spirit that you were describing. And, you know, you feel happy and you feel good and you feel accomplishment and you feel good about yourself. And that's the Spirit does that for us.
I like this. And I like how you say you feel good about yourself. But when the Spirit comes in, have you noticed that it expands? It goes inward, outward. So you feel good about your circumstances, maybe not perfect about yourself and not completely content with everything as far, but you feel good enough where it expands and you start to feel good about your circumstances, your situation and other people in small but yet meaningful ways. Linda?
Matt, you talked about the Lord's view and you were talking about the big pile of all the things that you have to do. And I think it helps so much. I know the Lord does not expect us to accomplish everything that we feel like we have to each day. And as you look at that big pile, you know, to take a moment and petition the Lord and ask for His direction and say what things are the most important. And then you go, as Neil's saying, to, you know, accomplishing one thing. Several of you are saying that feeling then is a feeling of fulfillment and, okay, the Lord's proud of me. I petitioned Him and I'm working on this, and if I don't get to anything else, at least I know I'm going where he wants me to go. Now, with little children, and in fact, with big children, too, sometimes that interrupts the process, but maybe that is the most important, isn't it, too?
Let me ask you this. I have three accomplished, wonderful women here that are striving to be the very best disciples that they can. I think that's a fair assessment. So let me ask the experts. You said to do the things that are most important. So help me with this one. Give me some ideas, some counsel or some framework. How do you know what is the most important thing? I have 40 things on my plate and 40 things that I learned in the handbook of what I'm supposed to be doing in my calling as the camp director for the young women's coming up. Or I'm on sharing time and I have this and that. And you know what this is like. It's called life. So help me on this one. Those that are listening, they're probably saying, yes, you're right. You are so right. So I should do the most important thing. How do you determine the most important thing? How have you done this? What are some things that will be helpful in this?
I'll have to say that really filling yourself first with what will help you to accomplish everything else in the day. And for me, that's prayer and scripture study.
So personal prayer, yes. Personal scripture study.
Yes, because, you know, without kind of planning your day and thinking of it and what would the Lord have me do and seeking his help, and that helps determine. But those things fill you in a way that you're then prepared to try to pick between all the others and receive inspiration.
So you pray what you do. You pray in the morning to get that direction, and then you're done praying for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
it's a really super good prayer and it gets you all the way through, right?
No, it's one of those, there's always a prayer in my heart kind of feelings in addition to the personal prayer.
This is really good. And I was baiting you on that, Jean, because I know that you're a woman of prayer. And when I say that, it's because there are people who are listening and they're thinking, you know what, I don't even say amen anymore because it's just I'm starting the next prayer as I just walk into the next room. And it's like, it's me again, Heavenly Father, it's me again. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with this experience. I love the way you're saying as we start with our prioritization, as we go to God first, I think he helps us see. Scriptures help us see. And then in a way, we pray our way through a day. I hope that's appropriate way to say it. I find that's the way I pray my way through days. Neil?
Speaking of praying our way through days, I'm thinking of a specific instance, actually, of one of our children who was having some trouble at school. It was in elementary school. The trouble was during recess, actually. And I had prayed mightily that morning for her and had said, asked Heavenly Father, you know, I will be praying for her during the day. Is there something more I could be doing? I can't march over to the school and get on the playground and cause a friend to show up. And this praying through the day was, I guess you could say it was working, but nothing was happening. She was still suffering and fearful on the playground. And as I was thinking of that, a little picture came to my mind of praying wherever I was during the day, during recess, during her time of trial. And I found myself kneeling down by the ironing board or in the kitchen at 10:15, you know, because that was her time of trial. So sometimes there might be a specific moment during the day that you and Heavenly Father can together bless that child because in that moment that is their trial at school too or in life or whatever. But for some reason, timing that prayer, it only took 2 weeks for her to bounce in the door.
Oh, I like this.
And say, look, I have a friend. Cutest little thing, white little pigtails hanging down. She came up to me today at recess and said, will you be my friend and pray for and play with me? And so sometimes timing with Heavenly Father and prayers and children makes a miracle.
Oh, I believe that. I think this is really great. As a matter of fact, as you're speaking, I'm thinking, wow, my wife does similar things. Is she'll often use texts and she'll text out and say, oh, so-and-so is taking a test right now or so-and-so is doing this. And I've noticed that spilled over into our children. So talk about the influence of helping others learn to prioritize and fill themselves first is I got a text from my 17-year-old just yesterday where he was saying my game starts. He plays baseball for his high school. My game starts in 10 minutes. Please pray for me. And so I'm thinking, hey, this is great. Even in play, work, games, and stuff like that is this concept of the timing of filling with prayer. Linda?
The faith of a mother's prayer. I love this. And I think what it reminds me of is just being able to be in tune with the Spirit. And I go back to what Jean was saying about prayer and scriptures. As our children were growing up, I wanted to do scripture study first thing in the morning, but I'd have a baby wake up at 6:15 or 5:45, and then it went out the door. That was the last chance I would get. And so it seemed in my life it had to be at the end of the day, very sleepily reading. But I always knew that the Lord honored my going forward with it, trying to do it, even if it wasn't the perfect circumstance. He blessed me. I think that every effort that we make during a day to stay close to the Spirit, to let Heavenly Father know that He is most important in our lives. And it doesn't have to be, when you're a young mother, to sit down for a half hour and study the scriptures is very difficult. And sometimes it has to be very piecemeal here and there.
There's seasons in our lives, aren't there?
Uh-huh. But to open it up and read what you can, the Lord honors that.
I'm thinking as you're speaking of Christ's telling of the experience with the widow's mite. And I think that that's such a wonderful illustration on real life living is as you're speaking, it seems like one of the most important things that we can all do in seeking what's most important is lay whatever we have on that altar. And it might be in a situation we have 3 minutes for this. And you're like, well, how can I really study my scriptures in 3 minutes? Oh, no, mm-hmm. no. It's not the number of minutes. And right. It's not the number of pages. It's the fact that you are mm-hmm. laying on the altar. Mm-hmm. Or I remember talking to a person one time talking about their busy schedule and how hectic it was. And people were coming to them trying to find time to study their scripture. And they said, there are times where I can't seem to get to them, but I want to so desperately. And the Lord finds ways. And he said, sometimes what I do is I recite scriptural stories in my mind when I'm standing or going somewhere. So I'm not actually reading the verses, but I'm trying to engage myself in scriptural experiences. And he says, sometimes as I'm talking about the things that took place with Captain Moroni or the mothers of the stripling warriors, all of a sudden insights come as if I were reading the scripture. Another girl told me once, she says, I actually go through and I do scripture mastery from seminary. And that was 20 years ago. I still remember some of those scriptures. And I will go through those scriptures in my mind because I haven't had a chance because in her case, she had an infant that didn't seem to be cooperative. So I love this concept. I think that you're bringing up something really nice of laying things on the altar, finding value and saying, you know what? Here is, am I good enough? The question might be, have I been to the altar? Maybe that's a question. Have I been to my altar and have I played something before the Lord, whatever it is? And stop looking on what it is. It's I'm at the altar of the Lord to present myself the best that I have in the circumstances.
Jean? I love what you're saying here because like all of us, it isn't a picture perfect, experience parenting. We learn as we go and we progress and we do the best we can. And there are such seasons of life. I watch my daughters now raising families and our sons, and I look at them and I think, boy, did I really do that? I honestly do. I think, did I really, because it's not easy. And no. You do the best you can. And the Lord values and appreciates what we can. He doesn't, just like we do with our children, we wouldn't, punish them for saying, that wasn't good enough for me. We have the experience of knowing what love is. And you love and encourage them in every way you can. You appreciate what they're trying to do. And so that's how our Father feels about us.
Oh, yes.
Only a million mm-hmm. billions times more.
Oh, that's a lot.
We can't even, it's boundless for Him, the love.
Give me some other ideas of how you seek to prioritize with the many things. So we've talked about filling our inner self, making the best time that we can, et cetera. How else do you do this? Because I think this is a challenge for many individuals. They're saying, I've got so much. This could be for men and or women in situations. I've got my career, et cetera. But how do we prioritize? Are there things that help us to prioritize so that we're really about the most important things? Other thoughts?
Well, it helps to step back and take a look at all those things and see what matters.
Okay.
I'll just speak from a mother's perspective here again. Laundry matters a little, but not so much.
Okay.
As looking a child in the face and sitting down with them. For everybody, it's going to be different. What really matters? Is there something we can take out or put aside for later and instead put in its place some nourishment from the scriptures or even listening to good music, just to feed our own soul? I think this is another entirely different angle, but I do think something that helps me stay put together is consistency. Doing the same things basically every day over and over, just the simple things.
Well, and hopefully they're what you're saying before, the important things every day. Because sometimes we feel our lives cluttered with the not very important things, and we become so consistent to that that there's no room. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So excellent.
Yeah, clear the decks, as it were, and just leave those crystal clear things that feed our soul so that we can be whole and do all the rest if it comes along.
Nice. Linda?
I think back on school years, and I was always so adamant with my children, trying to help them get their homework done and the things that seemed so important. And then summer would come, and it would be more relaxed, and we would have so much fun. And so as time went by, I started to realize you've got to have fun during the school year. You can't make these things so serious in the lives of your children. You've got to be expressing your love by what you do and what you say and making it fun. Life gets too serious sometimes, and there's a lot of pressure for our children. And if we're putting a lot of pressure on them all the time, I think that we affect the way they look at life even.
This is good advice. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, life comes at us so fast, we don't even realize we're in life sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel that we're victims of our circumstance. And I hear this quite a bit as, oh, well, we can't do that. We can't eat together as a family. You don't understand. We have five children that are in different places or et cetera. And actually, I like what you're saying here. It seems that, no, we can control some of this to the degree we can. We might have to push some things off. We might have to make things a little bit more important. We might need to make it fun, et cetera. And sometimes I don't think we realize what's taking place. I have some of our children that are saying, every time you guys talk to us, it's about something we need to do. And I'm like, oh, that's not true. But actually, one time I remember doing what you said, Neil, is to step back and say, and just listen to ourselves. I'm going, actually, it's kind of true. Have you done your homework? Don't forget to do this. Make sure you practice before this and stuff. And in our parenting mode, we were actually thinking we were helping our children to make sure that they were getting the things done that will bring the greatest fruits. And in truth, what they were hearing was the taskmasters over here. Mm-hmm. And we weren't including this concept of fun and living and, oh, by the way, how's this going and stuff? Because there are things that are important and there are things that are more important.
It just came to my mind. What is one thing that is so important? And I think I feel so strongly about it because I had a mother who knew how to love. And it's letting them feel your love every day, every moment you can, you know, because we do have a long list of things to be done, but if that kind of obscures our vision of loving people and loving children one at a time and our spouses, we're missing something that matters.
This is so good. Well, sadly, we're to the close of this episode, but fortunately, this is just the first of a two-part series on this. And so we'll be able to talk a little bit more about this experience of are we good enough and how do we come to that? And I have learned much from what you're saying here because, as I mentioned at the very beginning, I ask myself this question often, and finding ways to be able to deal with that is so important and so good. So thank you so much for your comments, and I look forward to what we'll be talking about in our next episode. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.